There are a few people that we have that are going to be sharing. Benny's going to be speaking on serving tonight. And when we speak about serving, it's such a, the heart of Jesus reflects so much of servanthood. And we've asked some folk just to come and share. And I've now got to find the first person that's going to be sharing. Oh, Henry, you're going to come and speak about worship. Just to give you guys a heads up. We're going to be, there are quite a few people that are going to be sharing testimonies, just sharing where they are serving. And it's a beautiful thing, man. Just when we as people are saying, hey, I'm not fully equipped, I don't have all the boxes ticked, but this is what I do. And so we're going to hear some of those stories today. So Henry, can we start with you? Thanks.
Almost said good morning, but good evening. I facilitate the worship, not for long now. So, and the emphasis is on facilitate. And I should actually say I'm facilitating the music, sound, and AV because the elders facilitate the worship because we're all worshippers. Is that right? So, yeah, we head up the music team. Melissa said I'm not allowed to preach. I should just be practical. So practically what it entails is, we get together regularly. And I just want to open it up again. If you've got any desire to serve in those three areas, AV, thank you, sound, Heinrich with his very nice beanie he's got on. Come and speak to us to be involved. Very practically, we try and upskill ourselves. That's a very important part of our role, so that we can bring glory to God without any hindrance. You know, the better you play, the more you put in, the less you can relax and just be a channel for God. So we want to really see if we can maybe do certain training and get each other excited. I know my son, he sings beautifully. I almost want to cry every time he worships in the shower. And to bring those guys in, I've got plans for him, man. I want him to play drums. And so, I want to encourage, stir everyone. And if you want to be involved, speak to us, come and serve and be part of this ministry.
Thanks, Henry. Yeah, worship, if anyone involved in worship in any way, whether it's AV or singing or anything. Stand, yeah, if you can stand. AV, Alfia? Okay. Well done. Is there anything you forgot?
Just on the AV, really, we also, if you feel you want to be involved with the AV, we can train you. Heinrich said there's apparently new software that's easy, usable. If you can open up the laptop and type, you can basically also be part of the AV team and we can train you and with the sound. That's it.
Thanks, Henry. Oh, Melissa, thank you very much for coaching him beforehand. Another Henry. I won't say other Henry, but we have another Henry. It feels like Henry and Julie are new here, but at the same time, like they've been here forever. Hey?
Cool. So I was kind of just asked to share on the coffee. That's why I got a jolt when you first said Henry and worship. I'm like, nope, other Henry. So we lead up the coffee team, and I mean, it's such an incredible place it's both serving and ministry. It is part of the welcoming to me. It's part of those people that are joining new and bringing them in, bring a friendly face and being able to share. And I mean, you're one of the people that kind of get to meet there first. Then as well as the people around you. Now, we so often only chat to the people that we know or in our calm or so. Whereas when you're on coffee, guess what? You're speaking to everybody. Pretty much everybody comes for a cup of coffee every few weeks or so. So it's a really cool place to meet different people, chat to different people, and actually really connect and hear what's going on in their lives and being able to share and be shared with. And as well as in your team as well. I mean, you're serving with different people and so often we end up sharing with the same or serving with the same people, and you get to really form that bond with them and actually get to be involved in their lives and them in yours. So, I mean, we're always needing more people. We are happy to train, and yeah, I mean, we've got, if you, like myself, can't do milk, I really suck at latte art, I can do coffee, and that's about it. So we've got different people for different roles, and really, we are all welcome to join. I don't know how much of our coffee team is here. I guess we can all have them stand as well. Please stand. Cool. But yeah, all welcome. And you can then just chat to me.
Thank you, Henry. So proud of you guys. Kanya, going to speak about the pantry and Sunbeam.
Hello, everybody. So Ikaila Temba is the outreach ministry of Josh Jen. And the pantry, Sunbeam, and now we've added two more legs, which is the clothing collection, and then the ladies that are in Blanco on Tuesday. So I just want to give a little bit of an explanation on each. So the pantry, I'm sure you all know by now, we collect groceries and it comes through the community groups. We send out a list monthly and then you donate as you can. And then we keep that in the pantry. We do it together. All of this, we are joined together with AM as well. So they do similarly. We work together and we have a representative in each congregation. And then we collect them. And then when there's need in the communities or you know of somebody, please let your community leaders know, and then the elders, and then the parcels will get given to those people. So it's generally a few grocery bags and a gift to the person. And then we walk a road with them. So that's the one side. So if you can donate, that will be amazing. But also if there is a need, please do tell us. So that you can bring on a Sunday, you can put it in. There's a basket at the front door that says Sunbeam. You're welcome to put the groceries in there, and then we take it downstairs. Or you can bring it to your community groups and it can be collected there. We've got quite a bit of donations towards Sunbeam, so we're just putting that on hold at the moment until we have a good outlet for it as well. But if you do have any baby products, baby things that you want to get rid of, please bring it to us and we will keep that as well. And then we're also asking for secondhand clothing. What we do is Annika and the ladies go on Tuesday, that's the other side, and we want to use it as a job creation thing. So we collect the clothes, and then the ladies can buy a bag for a very cheap amount, and then they get to sell on the clothes. So it's like a job for them, because a lot of the ladies don't have opportunities to get jobs, or they're struggling, various situations. And that brings me to Tuesday mornings, and this is where we would love for you to get involved as well. So Annika mainly goes on Tuesday morning. She's the lady that heads it up. She's from AM, but it's every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, and we meet at Jeannie's house in Blanco, and they meet with the ladies. And there's a few ladies that have been coming regularly. They've been coming to church. They got saved. They are being set free. And they're the ones, when we see they get set free and they get saved, we say, okay, well, here's a job opportunity. We give them the clothes. They get to sell it and have an income for their kids. So if you would like to get involved, please let me know. That will be amazing. And then you can join. You don't have to go every Tuesday, but it will be amazing to go every now and again or to go and support the ladies. They get to pray for the ladies and everything. So, yeah, if anybody wants to get involved in any of those areas, please just come and chat to me. So, thank you. Yes.
Thanks, Kanya. Who serves in any way with Kanya in this ministry? Will you stand, please? There we go. Okay. Okay. Yeah, awesome. So I'm glad we did that because it just highlights you guys could, yeah, awesome. What a great ministry to jump into. Heather, would you come and share with us what the ladies are doing in Ladies Connect?
Good evening, everyone. For those of you who don't know about Connect, this started a few years ago. God did something incredible in my life. I went through a really tough time, and I very nearly lost my faith. And my sister-in-law started sending me scriptures And these became a life source for me. And I really experienced the power of God's word. And it's really transformed my life. And I realized we cannot survive this life without it. And so we know that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. We know that the word of God is a weapon against the enemy. We know that the word of God instructs us for everyday life. The problem is the enemy knows that too, and he will do everything to keep us from spending time in the word. And so this is where Connect started. God just showed me that, I know for me, before I had this encounter with God, when I used to think of reading the Bible, I felt completely overwhelmed. Where do I even start? I felt like a lot of it didn't even make sense, so what's the point of reading it? I don't know if any of you can relate to that. And so I thought, well, let's, as ladies, let's journey this together. And so we started last year in September, I think it was. And of the 66 books, we've already done 6 books, and it's been incredible. So the way we do it is we meet together once a month. And the whole vision with Connect is connecting with Jesus through his word and connecting with one another. So really intentional relationships, going deeper with one another. So we meet together once a month. We study a book of the Bible per month. And then we also meet together in prayer partners to just pray together and just encourage each other and spur one another on. So we're starting again next Tuesday, the 23rd of July. And so we would love you to join us.
Thank you so much, Heather. For those of us who are attached to a lady who's been involved in that, can honestly testify that it's the growth has been exponential. It's been so awesome to see. So yeah, thank you for getting that going. We're going to share a little bit about communities, just the heart that some of us have towards COM. Monakis, it's your beard. When Monet takes his notes up, then you know.
I prepared a sermon. No, I'm joking. Okay, yeah, community. I'm going to be quick. So I've actually asked Liam and Shanae to also give me a bit of input. So the input's not just from myself and Margaret. So Liam and Shanae, I'm going to read what you said. So this is what Liam said. It's about building friendship, being accountable towards one another, and also to be discipled within the community. To the point. Shanae. Where's Shanae? Not a lot of words, but strong words. It's a place where you feel safe and being supported through any challenges. Now, the serious stuff. Margaret and Morne. So yeah, for us, really when Benny asked me to share, you know, I immediately just jumped into the book of Acts again and where it all started. And what really stood out for me was what was said by Peter. They had all things in common. So all those things for today is a bit different than it was, but you know, it was all things. So for me, something that raised in my heart immediately, and I just felt the Holy Spirit, you know, putting this word out called heartbeat. So community for me is actually the heartbeat of the church, where we have the opportunity to share our stories, our struggles, our challenges with one another. And then obviously it's a place, like Sean, you will know, where we can be vulnerable. And I know vulnerability is not easy for everyone, perhaps for me, easier. But through that vulnerability, we're there to then encourage one another to open their hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to minister into their lives. And then finally, community is not just a time to meet on a Wednesday, guys. For us, community is about opening your house, connecting with people, With people as many as you can. So apologies, I haven't invited you to my house yet, but it will come. So yeah, that's what community is for me and Marguerite and Shanae and Liam.
So cool to hear that from someone who really lives that. So thanks, Monet. Jan Hendrik and Denise. Waar is julle oudkies? Is het al twee, nee?
Hello everyone, I'm Jan Hendrik and this is my wife Denise. So yeah, I have the privilege to share about community. And this morning I've tried finding the words to share and what way to go about it to convince as much people as possible to join communities. But yeah, I'm just going to share my testimony with communities. So just to summarize it, community for me saved me from being I've trained the word so many times now I forget it, a mediocre Christian. When I started going to Josh Jen, I was a new Christian, and I saw the people, I was always called them the people standing. You know, like the elders, the worship people, everyone who's not just sitting in this seat. And I thought, yo, I will never be someone like, I can't be that person because of my past. And I started joining comms. And, you know, you start building trust with people, building relationships. Starting to open towards people. You see the Lord working with people in the comms. And then you just, you go on camps, you start to spend more time with people. Notice, when Sean's jokes is probably not as good as it was. No, I'm only joking. But you start to learn a lot about the people and trust and open up, and you see God doing, you see those people that you looked up when you joined here, you notice they made the same mistakes as which you did, and they're only human, and it's not them, it's God working through them. And you obviously see people growing next to you, and then people see something you which you don't even see in yourself. They ask you to pray for someone. You pray for that person, and that person get healed. And so it just made me realize the past is in the past. We're all humans, and it's easy to sit in a chair and to worship at church. But communities is like more than I said. It's the same heart as a church, but it's more intimate. And that's where the work starts becoming easier, because you can train, you can practice your gifts and all that stuff. So yeah, it just makes you grow as a Christian. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I must say, a community for me has been a place of true family. I think a lot of us in this world isn't necessarily in a biological family where everyone is saved. So it's such a beautiful, safe space that community brings, that you can share the most vulnerable pieces of you to people who can pray with you, can encourage you. And there's this one picture that I always think about if we speak about a community, and I think it was Heather that shared it once. It's basically, if you've got a lot of burning coals together, it's obviously coals burning and they're ignited and the flames come quite easily because they're all together in a fire pit. But if one coal starts to roll away, then it almost immediately starts to lose its heat and its flame and it's obviously its ability to ignite. So I think for Com, that has been such a testimony in our lives where we can really plug in and we get encouraged. We can encourage other people. It's such a beautiful space where you don't feel alone going through struggles. And also it's almost building your faith as a muscle, because if you've been in a comm for a few months or a year, and you've been praying about specific things for people, and God moves, it's really just so encouraging. It really allows you to trust the Lord even further. And I mean, for example, we prayed for Angelo just before he joined our comm with his mom, and just a testimony when he got baptized. We were also emotional as a comm, crying at the church camp. So yeah, it's just been a really amazing journey.
Speaking of Angelo,
good evening, church. Yes, it still looks like there's about 400 people here. So yeah, like, I mean, as Denise shared a bit, I kind of have, what I have in terms of comms is to do with, you know, with what Mona said as well. It's definitely that heartbeat. I mean, you know, church is Sundays, you get to church, and I can still remember how the Holy Spirit moved me in church. But then after that, to start trying to live as Jesus lived was the heartbeat, and the heartbeat with me started with comms. So comms started getting me into making friends, but before you realize it, these are now friends that are starting to become family. And that is where that heartbeat was for me. And even me, I mean, a lot of us has been through difficult times. I've been in the darkest place I was just over a year ago. And comms is where my healing started, where families pushed in. I mean, even everyone that's in a comm can attest to this. If you're sick, you know, it's almost like you want to be sick because you don't need to make food. Everyone will bring food. Everyone will pray for you. If you move, moving is one of the easiest things you can do. It takes like a few hours and everything. Like Josh Jin is in your house and out, into the new place, done, ready for coffee. So yeah, and I mean, Sean and Jackie, I'm in their comm, they're my comm leaders, and they've taught me so much. So if I do say something wonky, just talk to Sean about it. But I mean, it's just been amazing having them lead me and teach me, and then, you know, bringing that into the church and seeing how that reflects through all of the other comms. It just makes us all just one big family. Like, you know, even if I just know your name or you just know my face, I can talk to you like family, like you're part of my comms. So comms to me is so important to try and get that heartbeat going. So if you're not in a comm, just do it. The Lord will do the rest. Just go for it.
Thank you, Angelo. So if you're not in a comm, we're going to swing all the way back now to ministries again. And Michael, would you come and share?
Thanks, Sean. Okay, so Kids Church is obviously a church for our kids, ages 4 to 10. And so it runs every Sunday. Just in the back here, you'll see the kids kind of clear out during worship. And we have a lot of fun together, but as you'd imagine, it's not just a babysitting service. We're reaching out for these kids' lives. We're partnering with their parents to witness about Jesus, to teach them about Jesus, to have them pray together with us, to pray for them, to have them reach out to one another, to try and catch on the small moments where we can in teaching, you know, even if it's a discipline issue, but we can use it in a just a gentle way as a reminder to say sorry and, you know, build on. But so as I say, it's a partnering with parents and working with the kids. It's full-on church that's going on in the back there, I can assure you. And just to give you an idea, we're so well supported from Josh Jen as a whole. I mean, we get together, I think it's once a term, as a bigger team in Mossel Bay. So that's kind of the Garden Route area where we get some input. We also have a wonderful curriculum that's set up for us. So the whole team can dial in and download the lesson plan for the week. It's got all sorts of ideas of what can be done during the lesson and options. So it's a kind of a pick and choose and adapt. And in planning a lesson, we might kind of quickly YouTube something and look for some other kind of ideas on how we can reach out to the kids and try and teach a concept. So obviously there's a little bit of planning involved before the lesson. But what's important to note, if you are interested in getting involved, is we have four teams. So it's once a month, basically, that we that each term, well, each team is serving. And then on a team, we have the team leader, and the team leader has more of the responsibility to try and pull together this plan, the lesson plan. So they'll be more intricately like looking up the plan that's on the curriculum, thinking through some of the ideas, structuring the lesson. And then also what we have is a helper. And the helper can be involved and maybe bounce some ideas, but the helper is also just there to try and help facilitate in the lesson, just to keep the kids involved, keep them focused on the teaching or the craft or the whatever is being done. Because as you can imagine, some of the kids, they've got a lot more energy. They're off, you know, within 2 minutes, they're thinking of something else to do. So often the helper is to be around and come and coach them back and help sit next to them and engage them, ask one or two questions, just keep them involved in the lesson. So we really do have gaps for anyone that might want to get involved. Whether old or young, we've had youthies helping in the past. So yeah, any age, if you'd like to get involved, even if you'd like to just come look in and see how it goes and help for one or two and just see whether it's something that you'd like to help with. Yeah, there's an opportunity there. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks so much, Michael. Can I ask all those involved in that ministry with children just to stand up? Even if you have in the past, if you could stand, possibly stand up. Yeah. Not that we saved the best for last, but hats off to you guys, honestly. And we can see the fruit of that in our young people that are active in our church, so thank you. Yeah. Before Benny... Oh, youth.
Okay. Hi, guys. okay, so I just want to quickly chat about youth. So I have been involved in youth since I think 2022. Yeah. Since 2022. And honestly, it is, guys, it is such a privilege to serve in youth because that is such a crucial time of a person's life. Like, think back to your youth, teenage phase. Like, that is the time when there are so many big life questions that you start asking. You know, who am I? What is my purpose? You know, like, but it's just such a privilege because really the God just comes and helps you. Like, I don't feel equipped to do it. I don't feel like any of us really feel completely equipped to do it. But God equips us as you step forward in faith. And it's amazing. Like, we've seen families come to church through the youth, you know. We've seen salvations in the youth. We've seen just beautiful things happening in youth's hearts and so much growth. So, if you feel like the Lord is knocking on your heart in youth, just speak to the leaders, to Benny and the elders. Sorry. Oh, yeah, there are off weeks. So we don't serve every single Friday. So you do get to take a break because I will say it can be quite an intensive ministry because it's not just a Friday thing. You're praying for the youthies. You know, you're going at it, discipling. So, but yeah, what else? Is that all? Yeah, cool.
Thank you, Jamie. If you did choose to get involved in the youth ministry, you would be joining. Who's involved in the youth ministry? Okay. Yeah, okay, let the youthies stand who are in youth. Okay, there we go. There you go. Well done. Okay. And you don't have to go for therapy on your off day. I'm just putting it out there. Before I ask Benny, Lauren, do you want to share anything? Are you sure? Okay. Before I call Benny up, Jax, do you want to share what we spoke about this morning? Benny going to preach on that. Okay, cool.
Don't worry, I don't have a long preach. I've just basically felt to tie up just what we've been just preparing everyone here for in the sense of ministry and just getting involved. One of the things I've realized is unless you're not involved, you're going to feel outside. And I want to encourage you guys. We've been doing a foundation course for the last couple of weeks with John. And one of the things that we do in the course is, you know, we obviously talk about baptism and all that, you know, everything about what salvation entails. But the last foundation that we have was on the ABCs of Christianity. And that involves abide, belong, and contribute. And you know that thing of really when you're plugged into the body of Christ, you're abiding in it, you feel belong, and you contribute. Part of that belonging, part of that feeling, hey, I've got a place here, is contribution. So when you feel, hey, I've got a ministry in the life of God's church, in His body, and I've got a part to play, it does bring you to a place where you feel you're more part of it. And I want to encourage you guys to just get involved, not only in ministry, but also just in the life of the community. And just in light with that, because, I mean, you're gonna either feel like an attendee or a member, you know, and it's like being a spectator versus a player. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a spectator. You'll notice when you're a spectator, you're going to be more critical, you know, like yesterday. When you see Ireland, you think you're winning, and you're getting close to those. It's like, that's me, that's my team. And the moment the Irish kick the penalty, it's like, oh, what were they thinking? You know, it's all their fault, they're stupid, you know. But because now you're no longer a player, now you're a spectator. And the thing is, when you get involved in the church, and you're really that involved, you see yourself as a member. You don't look at someone and say, why did he? You actually realize that's part of me. So if he's done something wrong, it's like, hey, let me help you. What's wrong? It's not like you did something wrong. You know, you don't point the finger. You're not the blame. You're part of the players. I don't see the rugby teams going you know, all fighting each other. No, they recognize they're a team, and when one makes a mess up, the team feels it, but they're there to support one another, and that should be our hearts in the life of the church. And so I just wanted to raise just something of that, the importance of it. And so when we do give of ourselves, it does involve our time, our treasures, and our talents. It involves everything, because that's what that word that Jock shared. You know, we come before the Lord. He is ultimately who. We're not giving God just our things. We're giving God our lives. And that involves all those things. And that's what we're called to. And so I just want to quickly read Romans 12, verses 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's not just not offering your wallets, not offering your time. It's offering yourselves. And you know what? It involves your wallets. It involves your time. It involves you to do this. You see, you're not just coming here to bring a gift. You are the gift. I remember when I first planted the church here in George, we were at the Voortrekker Hall. It was hard. It was really hard. My wife can testify. She was in the worship team, and I think Bryden was the other member of the worship team. Henry did join us a bit later, but he was playing the bass and doing the sound at the same time. But I remember a guy coming to me, a very gifted guy, a very talented guy, and he came and he like watched us. It was probably at the back of his mind laughing because, you know, we're just starting up and we don't have the talent. And I remember him coming up to me and saying, here's my card if you need me. Like, I know you do, but anyway, and I took the card and I thought, you don't understand ministry like we do, because I don't want your talent. This is about giving your heart. It's about you joining to me. And so we don't recruit people because of gifts. We don't recruit them because of their talents. We're saying, come and be part of us. And from that place of being part of the body, let's see the life of God work through you. Let's see the gift come out of you. But it's we don't want you just for what you can give us, because you are the living stone yourself. And so I just want you to keep that at the back of your mind. It's really important how we view ministry. And, you know, we're living in a time where we're very consumeristic, hey? You know, we're very more concerned with our own needs, not about you, to about the world. The world's more concerned with its own needs than the needs of others. And that's just the way it is, you know.
we're very self-focused, self-consumed. And I was just saying to the guys too, one of the things I realized is, you know, for us to love one another, that's what God's called us to do. But to love one another is giving of yourself. And, you know, I always say to the guys, you know, we often think of the opposite of love as actually hate. I want to say it's not. I don't believe it is. When I look at internal conflict in the life of the church, it's not, sometimes we have disagreements, the guys fighting, but that is not what really becomes the issue in church. You know what it is? It's not the opposite of love. You know what it is? It's self-love. It's when I'm more consumed with myself than everyone else, when I'm more consumed about me, myself, and I, you know, the unholy trinity, when it's all about that, then, but the Bible says the opposite. In Philippians, I want to quickly go there. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. You got that one. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each one of you look not only his own interests. So obviously we got interests, we got things in our lives to do, we got families to look after, men, because if we can't look after our own families, we can't look after the church. Okay, so there is place for your calling in your families and all that, but it says don't let that all that is to your life. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. And did I give you that? Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So that's what it's saying. You know, it's we're not here to, we're here to be like Jesus. And Jesus didn't just come as man, he became a servant to man. He's saying, let that mind be in you, which was in Christ. And I don't know about you, but if God can say, I'm going to come as a servant, who are we as mere men to say, I'm not a servant? You know, that's God. And he says, let the mind of God be in you. That's amazing. Hey? Just as I was reading that, I thought, yo. And, yeah. So, but to do that, it's humility. That's what it's about. Let this mind be in you. It's humility that God's calling us to live out. And I want to say too, like I said, we're not after your gift. So there can be a sense of people say, "Well, this is my gift." There can be a sense of pride, but it's the reason I exercise my gift is for the benefit of the body. It's not so I look good. It's not because I'm an amazing person. I'm full of flaws. I know I am. But you know what? Like who was it that said? One of the guys stood up now and says, "Oh, Jan Hendrik, you realize that it doesn't matter what your flaws are, God still uses you." And that's what he's called us to. He hasn't called us to be a perfect people. We'll never be there as perfect people, but we are there people willing to be used, people willing to be available for what God wants to do. And so God elevates us. We don't elevate ourselves. God elevates us. But there is, I want to say this too, God does lift up people in doing this. We read it in Luke 14. Remember the talents, the one who gave, took five, when the master gave him five talents, there was the other guy that gave two talents, and the one he gave one. And the one who had the five talents, what did he do? He multiplied it, right? And the one with two multiplied, he doubled it. But the one with one buried it. And what did it say in that scripture? It said, when the master came back, he said, "You wicked servant." I don't know about you, but I don't want, you know, when Jesus gives me a gift and say, look, and I'm like, I didn't use it. I don't want him to come back and say, "You're wicked." I mean, imagine, don't you think it sounds harsh? I didn't use my gift. "You wicked servant." "You wicked." In fact, it says, "You wicked and lazy servant." That's the words of Jesus. And I don't know. I don't want to be one of those servants that when he comes back and he says that to me. I just want to find this other scripture. Yeah, so there is a sense in which God does promote, because as you read Luke 14, I do want to say this. He talks about the guy that multiplied his gift, and God says, you know, because you are faithful with that, I'm going to bless you with more. And he puts him in charge of overseeing, puts him in charge of looking. So there is a sense in which God elevates. But there's a difference when God promotes and when man promotes, hey? You see the difference. When man tries to promote himself in order to look good, it doesn't work. But the way God does it, He lifts us up. He brings us to a place that as we're doing it for Him and for His glory alone, it's like God saying, okay, I'm going to take that and I'm going to entrust you with more. And there is a sense in which more is given. And even Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28, it says, but whoever would be great among you, this is Jesus speaking, you must first be a servant. And whoever's first among you, he must be a slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give life as a ransom for many. And so as we give of ourselves, I was just sharing with the elders quickly, because I think sometimes we look at our gifts, and I do understand we do have what we call in the Bible serving gifts, which is kind of the gifts we've been sharing out, serving gifts. I mentioned this in the guys with the foundation. But we also have what we call power gifts, Holy Spirit gifts, which is ministry gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts into us. Those are things like prophecy, like speaking in tongues, like, give me other ones, word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You know, God imparts that into us. And so there's a sense in which there's spiritual gifts God imparts to us, but there's also the reality of serving. I mean, if you know, church wouldn't flow the way it flows if there wasn't these gifts that we mentioned tonight. It doesn't just happen. Things don't just fall into place and there's coffee and tea and there's kids ministry happening and there's this. All this is to create family. All of this is to facilitate the kingdom of God here on earth. Without you, we can't do it. And I want to say every single one of you are important. It doesn't happen. It doesn't just happen. I don't know if I got it here. Yeah, I do. Yeah. So anyway, I just want to share two more scriptures. 1 Peter 4:10 to 11. It says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as a good steward of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, ultimately we want to see Jesus be glorified. And it's saying let everyone do your part, that God's given you something. And don't say God hasn't given me something. I want to say the Holy Spirit comes. The moment you become born again, there's a gift that God has for you. Do you know that? It's not just the gift of salvation. There's a gift of empowering to do the works that God has called you to do. The Holy Spirit, there isn't a single person sitting here, isn't born again, that's been excluded. Did you know that? It's kind of like Oprah, you know, when you see in her shows, everybody's got a gift. Just look under your seat. You know, it's the same with us. When we get born again, everyone's got a gift. And it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He imparts what He wants, how He wants. And so don't overlook that. And so I just felt there were three areas that I feel in the life of this. What stops gifts flowing? What stops ministries flowing? What stops us exercising our talents and our gift? And I felt these three things. The first one I felt is ignorance. And don't worry if you're ignorant of what my gift is. We all, when we come born again, I don't know all the things that God had imparted into me. And so we were just sharing this with the guys doing the foundation. Like, what is your gift? And they're like, I think it's this, and I think it's that. And that's great because you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start asking the Lord. And so there might be people sitting in that are ignorant. And I want to say tonight, I want us to pray for you that God would actually impart and show you what your gift is. Okay, would we be able to do that? So that's the first group of people that I feel. The second group I feel of those who feel inadequate. Those who feel just like, is really my contribution that important? I want to say yes, it is. I want to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 22 to 25. I'll give you that one, Sarah. Sorry, let me read. Don't worry, no pressure on you, Sarah. I didn't give it to you. It says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Here's a paper cup. This is what we call a dispensable cup. In other words, I can throw it away. After I've used it, there's no need. But you know, you have a cup, you don't consider a glass cup. It's something you keep in your house. It's something you use over it. But this is dispensable. But here God's saying is every single one of you are indispensable. In other words, you don't just throw it away. It's not you can't be replaced. Do you get that? So I don't care who you are and what you feel you've got, I want to say you're indispensable. If you've been brought here into this body and you're born again, you're indispensable. And then it says, and on the parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. You see, ultimately, it's about one another. It's about us. It's like recognizing, look, there's going to be some parts that are seen. This, to me, this is a part that's seen. But yeah, it's saying, you know, those parts like this that are seen is actually not as important as the other parts. You ever thought that? So, it's humbling to think, because I think, oh, God, is, you know, my part is not as valuable or more valuable than, let's say, Lorette. You know, it's like recognizing why, because God does it in his wisdom. And I want to say we need to break that mindset that I don't have as much to give. Break it, church. I feel that is, and I want to call you guys up to, so there's the ignorance, those who don't know what their gift is. I want you to come here to the right. Then there's those who, I don't feel my gifts. I want you to come here. I want to pray for you that God would show you what he's put in you. That you would see who you are in him. It's not a self-elevated thing. It's what God has put in you. That you would recognize that tonight. I know Jackie even had a similar word of just that thing. I know you didn't want to share it, but that thing of I versus the Holy Spirit. Don't you want to, maybe can you share that? I know I'm putting you on the spot, Jax, but I feel it is important, because when it is I, you when you look at yourself, I'm not going to take your word, but when you look at yourself, you do feel insignificant. Come and just share just a little bit of your testimony, your walk.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I asked God just to show me things in my life that need work. And he said to me, and he spoke about how he's able to work in me, his Holy Spirit is able to work in me. And Benny gave us a talk on how the Holy Spirit should be able to move through you and flow through you. And I said to the Lord, well, what is preventing you from flowing through me? Because I want more of you to flow through me so that I can be your hands and feet and a blessing to you, you know, and to others. And he said, well, he gave me a picture of this door. He says, you have a door, and on the door is written self. And sometimes your door is open just a little bit so that I can work a little bit through you. But I want that door of self to be opened wide. Open the door and allow me to move in you and then through you so that I can flow freely. And God said that sometimes we don't want to do things because of self-indulgence, self-protection, just a little bit of me time. And he says, replace that word self and put in front of it the Holy Spirit. So instead of self-indulgence, say Holy Spirit indulgence. Instead of self-preservation, say Holy Spirit preservation. Little bit of me time, Holy Spirit time. So he said, replace that. And I looked in Google, our favorite place to look, and he said, and I looked up all the prefixes of self. And the prefixes of self is like from A to Z. You can get a whole dictionary of it. And how we are so self-absorbed in so many things that we can't serve him. And even self-absorbed, be Holy Spirit absorbed. You know, so, yeah, that's how he's been speaking to me. Has it been working? I'm trying. Yeah, God's working in me. And, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jack. So that thing of self-absorbed, you know. So ignorance, inadequacies, self-absorbed, really. I'm not willing to to give me, you know, we need to ask God for a love for his church. And it actually starts there. So God, show me so I can love you. Give me that love. Because when you're loving him, automatically you're going to love each other. The Bible says, don't say you love God and hate your brother. You know, if you love God, you will love your brother. That will be the flowing out of you loving God, will be that you love. I know when I'm not spending time with the Lord. Why? Because I'm short with my wife. I'm short with my kids. Automatically, I know. I'm not loving the way I should be loving because I'm not in the love of Christ. And so I want to ask those people to come stand here. So you're feeling, yes, I'm just so self-absorbed. My time, although it's a reality. It is. Don't feel because you stand here you're going to be condemned. No, it's like, God, show me how to lay this thing down. Give me, because we can't lay it down in ourselves. We've got to come before the Lord and say, God, I want to see what you did, Jesus. I know you laid your life down, but give me a revelation of that. And I want to do that. I want to lay my life down. I want to lay my time down. And if that is you, you come stand here. But I do feel God wants to release people this evening. Because he wants a church that's flowing in power. He wants a church that your ministries, your gifts, your talents has been exercised. Because church, we're not doing it. We're not going to administer the kingdom, you know, down. It's not going to come. It comes through us. Jesus said the kingdom is what? It's among you. It's not on the elders. It's not on Josh Jane. It's not on Andrew. It's among you, the church. But we administer the kingdom. And so can I ask, just maybe even as the music team, maybe you can come up, Stephen, just get the guys. And I'm going to create space because I want to say come up this evening. If there's ignorance and you don't know your ministry, let's pray for you. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. And I do want to say this. It doesn't mean you might know automatically, all of a sudden you've got a revelation, oh, this is my gift. No, sometimes God begins to show us. He begins to highlight things in our lives so we can begin to walk. I don't want people to walk away here feeling condemned that they still don't know what their ministry is. You know what I'm saying? So let God begin to work in your heart as people pray for you. So maybe someone's got a gift of knowledge and said, "This, I'm really feeling this is your gift. Well, this is what God's calling you to." So I'm going to ask the priests that are believers too to come and pray for these guys. As they respond, I want you to respond too. Because, so here's the thing. If you think of it, no one should be sitting, because you're going to have those that don't have their gifts and don't know what their gifts are, and those who are feeling inadequate, and those who are feeling, I don't have that love to do it. God, give it to me. And then there's going to be the rest of us who do have it. Am I right? You either have it or you don't. You're either exercising or you're not. Am I right? Okay, so that's putting you on the spot because I don't feel it. I need you to pray for me who do feel it, who do experience it, who are living in it. So I don't want to put, listen, if you're a visitor, please, I'm not putting you under pressure. I'm talking to the body that belong here, that are members. I want to say, this is it. This is how we do it. There's no escape, church. I feel the Holy Spirit wants to do something this evening. But he wants a people that are willing, that are, God, it's either all or nothing. Can we do that? Cool. So, yeah. So Stephen was saying, even maybe part of this group is some people have lacked vision, that God would give you a vision again. That you can begin to serve. You might know your gift, you might know your talent, but you've lost your first love. And you've lost your vision, really. Jesus ultimately should be our vision. He should be the one that we be holding in order to do that. And so maybe just, we're going to go, maybe just into worship. Let's just take us into worship, Stephen, and then I'm going to ask you to respond this evening. Don't hold back.